J.D. Vance. Let me close that out. Sorry about that, guys. J.D. Vance had an opportunity to speak, and he was speaking specifically about how Putin was asking for too much. Let me say that again. He said that Putin was asking for too much in order to get a deal done. And this is one of the reasons why the Trump administration was willing to walk away, because it was very difficult for them to be able to get things done and get a ceasefire. And they're not sure if he's really serious about what he's trying to do. Make sure you guys hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel with turning notifications. This is what they had to say, and this is what was presented with J.D. Vance and him having that conversation to provide that clarification.
Reacting to the big news today, Vice President Vance, the second Catholic VP in our history, congratulating Pope Leo XIV on X moments ago, writing this quote, "I'm sure millions of American Catholics and other Christians will pray for his successful work leading the church. May God bless him." And here in Washington, just a bit earlier, I spoke with the vice president about a range of topics, from what to expect in the months ahead for the economy, given the tariff discussions, to Elon Musk, to his status as President Trump's potential successor, and whether or not he wants that job. Here's our interview. Joe Biden came out and did an interview yesterday. He said that the famous Zelensky Oval Office confrontation was, quote, beneath America. What would you say to the former president?
Well, I think it's rich for Joe Biden to comment on anything that we're doing when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. Under Biden's administration, Russia launched the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And if we wanted to take advice from...
Whenever you want to say something, sorry about that, I was muted again. Whenever you want to say something as an insult to somebody that you think is out of touch, or that they're completely disconnected from the rest of the world, you usually say something like, well, that's very rich of you. It basically shows that that person is completely removed from what the reality is and what we're trying to solve for with this particular situation. So anytime you want to insult somebody that has resources, or you want to say that they're out of touch, and if you really want to insult somebody that's out of touch, then say it to somebody that's poor. And then they really going to get offended. Well, that's mighty rich of you to say something like that. Shout out to you.
Anybody on foreign policy, especially foreign policy in Europe, it would not be Joe Biden. So I wish Joe Biden the best. I don't really care what he has to say about American foreign policy, because so much of what he actually did was a total disaster. If we just did the opposite of what Joe Biden did, I think we'd have one of the most successful foreign policy administrations in a very long time. So he can spend his time on the beach or doing whatever Joe Biden does. We'll continue trying to fix the problems that he created.
So sticking with Russia and Ukraine, yesterday you spoke with the Munich Security Conference here in D.C.
Yeah.
You said that Russia is essentially asking for too much in a deal to settle the war with Ukraine. So what do we do now? Do we walk away from this situation, or is it time to ramp up our military support for Ukraine?
Well, we'll see what happens, of course. But look, we knew that Russia would ask for too much because the Russian perception of the war is on the ground. They're winning. And of course, the Ukrainians would like to do a ceasefire, in part because things have not been going so well for the Ukrainians the last few months. And our attitude is we don't want Ukraine to collapse. We obviously want Ukraine to remain a sovereign country, but Russia can't expect to be given territory that they haven't even conquered yet. And that's one of the things that they put down in that initial peace plan. So I actually think it's progress that they're even talking at all, the Russians and the Ukrainians. I think it's progress that they're putting concrete peace plans on the table. But we knew that the Russians' first offer would be too much. We knew that they would ask for more than was reasonable to give. That's how negotiations often work. I'm not bothered by that. What would bother me is if we conclude that the Russians are not engaging in the negotiation in good faith. And if that happens, yeah, we're going to walk away. The president's going to say, we're out of this thing. And what that's going to mean fundamentally, I think, is that both Russia and Ukraine are going to be left to settle this thing without the advice and without the mediation of the United States. I don't think that's good for anybody. I don't think it's good for us. I don't think it's good for Russia or Ukraine. But we can only lead these guys to the well. We can't force them to drink. And that's what the president has done. And I do think we've had some diplomatic breakthroughs. Again, the fact the Russians are offering a peace plan at all, that's a breakthrough. The fact the Ukrainians are offering a concrete proposal, that's a breakthrough. But we've got to try to get these sides a little bit closer together to achieve a lasting peace. We're not there yet. We'll keep working on it until we decide that we ultimately can't make any more progress.
I'm wondering how long it's going to take for this deal to actually get through.
Will it get through within the next year? Will it get done within the next 2 years? Will you actually get a ceasefire? Are you going to have a real proposal? Because even our mineral rights deal, a lot of that is hinging on this whole peace talk and whether we're able to get this solved between Russia and Ukraine. And this war has been going on for way too long. We have another anniversary. What?
And then you would walk away.
We would. We would.
All right. You were in India recently, and there was some feeling that that might lead to one of the trade agreements announced. And we just heard the UK agreement with the United States. Sure. How concerned is the administration about the potential for nuclear war between India and Pakistan?
Well, look, we're concerned about any time nuclear powers collide and have a major conflict. What we've said, what Secretary Rubio said, and certainly the president has said, is we want this thing to de-escalate as quickly as possible. We can't control these countries, though. Fundamentally, India has its gripes with Pakistan. Pakistan has responded to India. What we can do is try to encourage these folks to de-escalate a little bit, but we're not going to get involved in the middle of war that's fundamentally none of our business and has nothing to do with America's ability to control it. You know, America can't tell the Indians to lay down their arms. We can't tell the Pakistanis to lay down their arms. And so we're going to continue to pursue this thing through diplomatic channels. Our hope and our expectation is that this is not going to spiral into a broader regional war or, God forbid, a nuclear conflict. But sure, we're worried about these things. But I think the job of diplomacy, but also the job of cooler heads in India and Pakistan, is to make sure this doesn't become a nuclear war. If it happened, of course, it would be disastrous. Right now, we don't think that's going to happen.
And I like the fact that he made clear that we are not going to insert ourselves into business that is not ours, because America needs to focus on America right now, and America does not need to be sticking its nose into other people's business. Now, I do like the fact that they are basically saying, hey, listen, cooler heads and saner heads need to prevail. We know that y'all got issues with each other. I'm not even sure why Indians and Pakistanis have issues with each other, but I like the fact that he said that we're not going to be funding, we're not going to be sending money, we're not going to get involved, we're not going to pick a side, we're not going to participate in this whole situation. Y'all going to have to solve it for yourselves, because y'all big girls and boys.
All right, let's talk about the U.S. economy as some of your colleagues are heading to Switzerland to try to work a deal with China. Why was the U.K. deal first? Is it the sort of the model for other deals? And why not go to the EU first? A bigger deal?
Well, first, I think we have a great relationship with the United Kingdom. You know, the prime minister, the foreign minister visited a few weeks ago. We had very good conversations with them. I think they were very responsive. I mean, look, President Trump has said very simply, all he wants at a lot of these trade negotiations is fairness, is reciprocity. He wants other markets to be as fair to American workers, frankly, as America has been to these foreign workers for decades, in some cases, generations. And the United Kingdom was very willing to work with us. I think we had a great rapport with them. They were very open to hearing our concerns. And of course, we heard some of their issues too. It was a good conversation. It was a good negotiation. It led to a successful result.
So with China, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, has said that, you know, he doesn't want to decouple. He just wants fair trade. But when you look at China and the trust issues, they're our biggest adversary. How can they be our biggest trading partner at the same time?
J.D. Vance popularized that term. I'm going to just say that, too. When he corrected Biden and he said, well, he corrected Kamala Harris and Biden and he said, listen, they're not our enemies. They're our adversaries. We may not necessarily see the eye to eye, but we don't want to look at each other as enemies. Now everybody is saying adversary.
Well, first of all, what the president has said is clearly we need to rebalance global trade. American workers and American businesses have lost a lot by absorbing all of this trade from other countries when these countries don't take nearly as much from America as we take from them. That's a fundamentally losing proposition, and we're going to change it. And of course, China has been the worst offender. But I think that, look, what has happened right now, the last couple of months, is basically trade between China and the United States has stopped completely. The president has been very clear. He thinks that we have the cards, of course, because we take much more from China than China does from us. But we're going to have a conversation with them. We'll see where it leads. And ultimately, we just want to deal with any country, whether it's China or anybody else, that makes American workers and American businesses in a better position. We just want a fairer deal for American workers. And that's what President Trump is fighting for. I think that it's very achievable with a whole host of countries, but that's the guiding light.
So the president said, you know, maybe American kids should have three dolls instead of 30 or whatever the number was. Do you agree? Do you tell the people of this country that you need to make some sacrifices in order to reorganize this.
We should be saying it, but people are going
to
get offended.
Well, I think the president's point here is that, yeah, we do need to become more self-reliant, and that's not going to happen overnight, and it's not always going to be easy, Martha. But what I'd ask people is not whether they want $2 or $5 or $20 for their kids. I'd ask American moms and dads, would you like to be able to go into a pharmacy and know that the drugs your kids need are actually available to you as an American parent? Would you like to, God forbid, if your country goes to a war and your son or daughter is sent off to fight, would you like to know that the weapons that they have are good American-made stuff, not made by a foreign adversary? What President Trump is talking about is bringing self-reliance back to the United States economy. We haven't had it pretty much in my entire life. My entire life, Martha, we've lost jobs, we've lost supply chain. Critical minerals, critical goods have been manufactured by our adversaries. All the president is saying is, wouldn't you like to live in a country that is self-reliant and strong again? And his policies are going to make that happen.
And I agree with that.